Hello, hello, faithful explorers. It's me, Laura, your trusty adventure buddy and imagination navigator. Today we're opening a really big question, one that kids and grown-ups have asked me, but before I tell you what it is, I want you to think. Would you still choose kindness, even if no one was watching? Would you still tell the truth, even if there was no rules saying that you had to? Because the question that people ask me is, if someone doesn't believe in heaven or God or religious rules, what helps them decide to be a good person? Whoa, that's a big question, right? Well, stick with me, because we're diving into this question and discovering a world of values and wonder that doesn't follow any one faith. We'll explore what it means to be kind without a creed, discover humanist values, and find out what guides people who don't belong to a religion at all. And of course, we'll play games, stretch our imaginations, and hear a story that just might surprise you. So don't go anywhere, grab your belief backpacks, and let's begin! Faithfully explores the name. Learning together is our aim. Beliefs around the globe will track. Filling up our belief backpack. Imagine you're walking through a giant library of beliefs. Each shelf is filled with books. Some whisper ancient prayers. Some tell dazzling stories of gods and miracles. And others? They lean in close and ask, what if there were no gods at all? What if we only had each other, nature, science, and the stars to guide us? That's where we discover humanism, a way of thinking that says, even without religion, people can be kind, curious, brave, and fair. It doesn't come with a sacred text or a dress code. It doesn't tell you who to pray to, or even if you should pray at all. But it does say something powerful. Being a human matters. And how we treat each other? That's everything. Let's peek inside some of the books from the humanism shelf. Our first book is called Atheism. This word means someone who doesn't believe in any gods. But that doesn't mean they're cold or unkind. Atheists might love poetry, volunteer at animal shelters, go hiking, stargaze, or practice mindfulness. Their values just don't come from a belief in a higher power. Our next book, Agnosticism. Agnostics are the question seekers. They think, I'm not sure if there's a God. Maybe yes, maybe no. But guess what? They still believe in learning, wondering, helping, and making the world a better place while they try to figure things out. The next book is Secular Humanism. This one's a big idea, kind of like being on Team Humanity. Secular humanists believe that people can work together to decide what's right and fair, using things like empathy, science, history, and deep thinking. They say, let's care for each other, even without religion. And the last book we're going to talk about is Philosophical Naturalism. That sounds like a tongue twister, right? The philosophical naturalists believe everything in the universe comes from nature. No magic, no miracles, no invisible beings, just stars, atoms, animals, and ideas. They believe in exploring the world with wonder and learning from what we can see, touch, and study. No matter which book someone reaches for, humanist ideas remind us of something beautiful. You don't need a sacred rule book to be a good person. Kindness, curiosity, and courage, they can come from within. Let's head deeper into the library, past the towering shelves, around the spiral staircase, into a cozy little nook. There's a reading lamp, a blank journal, and a sign that says, "Write your own chapter." That's what living with humanist values is like. Instead of reading a rule book handed down from long ago, humanists open up a fresh page and ask, "What kind of story do I want my life to tell? What kind of character do I want to be?" They don't just follow someone else's script, they create it. And the tools they use? Thoughtfulness, kindness, fairness, curiosity. They build a life of meaning by choosing how they treat others and what they stand for. Humanists believe that being human comes with responsibility, not because someone is watching, but because we're all writing this big story together. So, how do humanists decide what's right and wrong? Let's flip through some of the most important pages in their guidebook. The one written with reason, compassion, and imagination. Empathy. This chapter is all about feeling with others. Empathy means noticing when someone else is hurting or happy and asking, "What would I want if I were them?" It's like having a heart-based highlighter that helps you spot what matters most. Remember when we learned about Confucius, the wise teacher from ancient China? He is also a humanist himself, and he said something similar over 2,000 years ago. Remember, he said, "Do not do to others what you would not want done to you." That idea, sometimes called the Golden Rule, is still one of the best ways to treat people with care and respect, no matter what you believe. The next thing in our guidebook is reason. Instead of just underlining the rules, humanists ask questions. Why? What if? Will this help or harm? They make thoughtful choices based on fairness, facts, and care. Another big thing for humanists is responsibility. Even without belief in heaven or hell, humanists believe we're shaping the story of our world every day. They care about how we treat people, animals, nature, and how we act when nobody's looking over our shoulder. Another important idea is truth-seeking. This chapter is full of question marks and curiosity. Humanists love to learn. They read science, listen to others, and say, "Let's keep exploring." It's okay to change your mind when you learn something new. In fact, it's a sign of a great thinker. The last idea we're going to talk about is dignity. And this one, it's written in bold. Humanists believe every person has worth, not because a king said so, not because of a badge or a rule, but because being human is enough. So in this big, beautiful library of beliefs, humanism is a shelf where people write their values through how they live. Every kind action, every thoughtful choice, it's like adding another meaningful page to the story of who they are. Now that we've explored the values written into a humanist life, let's meet some of the real people whose chapters inspire us. These aren't characters from a fairy tale or ancient prophets. They're scientists, thinkers, and activists who used humanist values to shape the world, not with miracles, but with meaning. Let's open up their stories. First, we have Carl Sagan. Carl loved the stars, and he helped the rest of us love them, too. Through books like Cosmos and his popular TV series, Carl Sagan shared the magic of science in a way that made science feel close, personal, and awe-inspiring. He taught that we were made of star stuff, the very atoms that sparkle in galaxies and suns.
The nitrogen in our DNA, the calcium in our teeth, the iron in our blood, the carbon in our apple pies were made in the interiors of collapsing stars. We are made of star stuff.
Not a belief based on sacred texts, but a discovery based on science. Carl believed that the more we understood the universe, the more wonder, care, and responsibility we would feel for each other. He warned against falsehoods and taught people how to think clearly, not just what to think. His life is a perfect blend of reason, curiosity, and truth-seeking, all lit up like a constellation. Another important person is Jane Goodall. Jane is a scientist who didn't wait for someone else to care. She stepped into the wild, listened to the forest, and made amazing discoveries about chimpanzees, showing the world how much we have in common with animals. Jane used science to open hearts, helping people see that protecting nature is really about protecting our shared future.
You cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of a difference you want to make.
Jane's gentle bravery is responsibility in action. She reminds us that you don't need to believe in heaven to care about the future. You just have to care about people, animals, and the planet right now. The last chapter is about Hypatia. Let's travel way back in time, all the way to ancient Alexandria over 1,600 years ago. Hypatia was a brilliant thinker at a time when most women weren't allowed to be scholars. But that didn't stop her. She taught math, logic, and philosophy to anyone who wanted to learn.
Reserve your right to think, for even to think wrongly is better than not to think at all.
She didn't tell people what to believe. She asked them to think deeply, ask hard questions, and figure things out together. Hypatia's chapter shows us that asking questions isn't rebellious, it's wise, and it's a big part of humanist values. So if anyone ever tells you, you can't be good without religion, humanists would gently say,
we're kind because kindness helps people.
We're brave because our choices do make a difference.
We seek understanding because knowledge guides our choices.
We tell the truth because truth matters.
And that's a story worth writing. Let's take a moment to go inward into the pages of your story. If you're somewhere safe, go ahead and close your eyes. Let your hands rest quietly. Take a deep breath in and let it all the way out. Again, in and out. Now imagine you're walking through a forest, tall trees arching above you. The ground is soft beneath your feet. The air smells like pine needles. Everything is still, but alive. In your hand is something special, a compass. Bah, not just any compass. This one doesn't point north. It points toward what you believe is right. You walk slowly. The compass starts to spin. You see words along the edge of the compass. Kindness, justice, courage. The arrow on your compass starts to spin again and lands on compassion. You pause. Then you hear something. A soft sniffle. You follow the sound and find a kid sitting alone beneath a tree. They're hugging their knees. You glance down and your compass pulses gently in your hand, again showing you the word compassion. You don't rush in with advice. You sit beside them, quiet, kind, present. You listen. And sometimes, just listening is the nicest thing we can do. Your compass glows softly again. Now it points to curiosity. You walk further and find someone telling a story. Their words twist and sparkle in the air. You ask a question, then another. And the more you listen, the more your friendship grows. You turn another bend and the compass spins toward bravery. You enter a space where people are speaking up about something unfair. You feel nervous. Your heart pounds. But your compass, it beats with you. Steady and strong. Still showing that word, bravery. You take a deep breath and you speak. Even though your voice trembles, your words matter. Then comes a new direction, joy. You stumble upon someone dancing wildly beneath a sunbeam. You don't know the moves, but you laugh and join in because joy matters too. Everywhere you go, your compass keeps guiding you. Take one more deep breath in. Hold it. Let it out slowly. Now, when you're ready, open your eyes. That compass, it's still with you. Always. Even when you forget to check it. It's your inner guide, and it knows the way. Let's take a walk across our friendship bridge, the one that helps us find common ground, even when our beliefs look different on the outside. Step by step, we discover something beautiful. A humanist might say,
life is precious because it's short, and we only get one.
A Buddhist might say,
life is precious because we should ease suffering for all living beings.
A Baha'i friend might say,
life is a chance to grow the soul through love and service.
Different beliefs, but the same deep respect for the gift of life. Next, we see another scene. A secular family is lighting a candle at dinner to talk about justice and fairness. In another house, a Jewish family is lighting Shabbat candles to welcome peace and rest. And in a different neighborhood, a Hindu family might light diyas during Diwali to celebrate light over darkness. Different traditions, same spark of reflection and togetherness. Another example is a Muslim child might fast during Ramadan to practice patience and grow empathy. A humanist child might take on our kindness challenge, doing something thoughtful every day for 7 days. Two different practices, but the same values shining through. Whether someone believes in God, many gods, a great spirit, or none of those at all, people all over the world ask the same big questions. Where did we come from? How can we live with kindness? And what really matters? So now a question just for you. Can you think of a value your family shares? How do you show that value in your everyday lives? Maybe it's fairness, or honesty, or caring for the planet, or helping those who need it. We don't need the same stories to share the same values. And sometimes, when we ask why someone cares about something, we end up caring about them a little more, too. So let's keep building this bridge with every question, every kind word, and every curious conversation. All right, adventurers, it's time for a compass quest. You'll need three things. Your best listening ears, your imagination, and a little bit of movement, or perhaps some finger pointing if you're in a car. Here's how it works. I'll describe a tricky situation, something that needs a choice. You decide where your inner compass would point. Each direction stands for a different action. So decide where north, south, east, or west are going to be for you right now. It's okay if they're not really in those directions. You can move in that direction with your whole body or just point like a human compass needle. Here's scenario number one, recess dilemma. You see someone being left out of a game on the playground. What does your compass say? North, be brave and invite them to join. South, pretend you didn't even see them. East, find a teacher and ask them for help. West, you just join the game. Pick your direction and move or point. If you chose north or east, amazing! That's kindness and fairness leading the way. What about scenario number two? The secret slip up. Oops, you broke a rule, but nobody saw. What do you do now? North, blame someone else. South, stay quiet, cross your fingers, no one notices. East, tell the truth, even if it's tough. West, go in your room and hide. Choose your direction. Ready? Go. If you picked east, tell the truth, even if it's tough, that's integrity in action. Your compass is steady and strong. All right, here's our last scenario. Scenario three, different opinions. A friend shares a very different opinion than yours, and it makes you uncomfortable. Which way do you turn? North, tell them why what you believe is better. South, stop being friends. East, ask questions to understand more. Or West, make fun of their idea. Spin your inner compass and point that way. If you landed on East, ask questions to understand more, you're doing the brave work of listening and learning. That's empathy and openness in motion. Now it's your turn. Can you make up your own scenario? A time when you had to choose what's right? What did your compass tell you to do? You can even draw your own compass quest map after this episode with twisty trails, helpful signs, and values at every turn. Remember, your compass doesn't just tell you where to go. It shows you how to move through the world with courage, with kindness, with thoughtfulness. And guess what? You're already doing amazing. Let's open our belief backpacks and carefully tuck in the treasures from today's journey. Not just things to carry, but reminders of the values that we've explored. Each one tells a story. Each one can help guide you. First up, a folded paper map. It doesn't have all the answers, just a few big landmarks. Kindness, honesty, fairness, and you get to chart the path. This map reminds us that our inner compass helps us make choices, even without a set of written rules. Our next object is a magnifying glass. Humanists ask big questions and examine things closely, just like detectives of truth. This magnifying glass helps us pause, reflect, and ask, what's fair? What's helpful? What will happen if I do this? Finally, we'll add a pencil with a well-used eraser because your beliefs, just like your ideas, can grow and change. This pencil says it's okay to ask questions, to make mistakes, and to keep rewriting the story of who you're becoming. There you go. Three powerful reminders tucked inside your belief backpack. A map for your values, a magnifying glass for thoughtful choices, a pencil for growth and learning. Explorers, can you believe it? This is our 10th episode! Hooray! We've learned so much about what different people believe. From Shabbat candles to Aboriginal dreaming, from the teachings of Confucius to the celebration of Rezvan. And today we explored something a little different. How some people live with strong, beautiful values without following a religion. Now it's your turn. It's time to start thinking about what you believe. What ideas do you want to carry with you? What values do you want to pack in your belief backpack? From what you've learned, from your family, your experiences, and all the journeys we've taken together. Your mission this week is to design your very own belief backpack. We're calling it the Backpack I Built Challenge. Here's how it works. First, go to faithfullyexplore.com and download our belief backpack printable. Second, think about values or ideas that matter most to you. Things like kindness, honesty, curiosity, bravery, or fairness. Third, draw or write one item in each compartment that represents one of your beliefs. It could be a book for learning, a heart for compassion, a megaphone for speaking up, whatever feels true to you. Fourth, color it in. Make it bold, bright, and full of meaning. So zip it up, color it in, and share your beliefs with us. We can't wait to see what you're carrying on your journey. Oh, and guess what? I'm hosting a coloring contest right now on social media, and this challenge would make the perfect entry. So once you've finished your belief backpack or any coloring page from our website, snap a photo and email it to faithfullyexplore@gmail.com before June 30th. You could win a $5 Amazon gift card and a special shout out right here on the podcast. So grab your markers, sharpen those colored pencils, and show us what your beliefs look like in full color. Cozy up, snuggle in, and maybe grab an imaginary spoon, because I've got a story bubbling just for you. It's an old folktale told all around the world, and it's a favorite for lots of humanist families. Why? Because it's about kindness, creativity, and how a whole lot of nothing turned into something wonderful. Once upon a time, or maybe even yesterday, in a town not so far from your own, a traveler arrived at a quiet village. This traveler had dusty shoes, an empty belly, and one very unusual item in their pocket. a small, smooth, round stone. They also carried a big old cooking pot, clunking along with each step. They were hungry and tired and a little hopeful. So they knocked on one door.
"Sorry, I don't have enough,"
said the villager. They tried another.
"No food to spare here,"
said someone else. Another shook their head, another closed a window. Everyone in the village was too busy, didn't have enough time, didn't have enough food, didn't have enough of anything to help him out. So the traveler scratched their head, grinned, and walked right to the center of the village square. They plopped down their pot, filled it with water from the well, and clink, dropped in the smooth stone.
"What are you doing?"
asked a curious kid with wild hair and skinned knees.
"Why, I'm making stone soup,"
said the traveler dramatically, waving a wooden spoon like a magic wand.
"Stone soup? You can't eat a rock,"
the kid giggled.
"Oh, but this is no ordinary rock. This soup is going to be delicious. It just needs a little something extra."
The traveler winked. The kid zipped home and came back holding up a carrot. The traveler chopped it up with flair. Another villager peeked out.
"Stone soup? Is that a real thing?"
"Well, it could use a bit of cabbage,"
said the traveler thoughtfully.
"I've got some of that left over,"
said the villager, and off they ran. Then came someone with a potato. Someone else added onion slices. Another tossed in herbs and a handful of beans. And even the grumpiest grumbler brought a tiny garlic clove and muttered,
"Fine, but just one."
The pot started to steam. The smell drifted across rooftops and under doorways. People who hadn't talked in weeks started laughing together. Elders shared stories, kids ran in circles, and suddenly, the village didn't feel so quiet anymore.
"Almost ready,"
called the traveler, giving one last heroic stir. They tasted it and said,
"Almost perfect. Just missing one last thing, someone to eat it with."
And just like that, everyone pulled up a seat. They passed bowls, they shared bread, they laughed with full bellies and warmer hearts. And you know what? The soup was delicious, even though it started with nothing but water and a stone. And the moon rose and the stars blinked awake. The traveler leaned back and said,
"See, when everyone brings a little something, a carrot, a smile, a story, we end up with so much more."
From that night on, the village was never quite the same. They still had their strugglers, but they remembered how to come together with just a pot, a stone, and a whole lot of heart. So many humanists love this story because it reminds us you don't need rules or rewards to do something kind. You just need to care. You just need to come to the table. So, what will you bring to the table this week? Speaking of bringing to the table, it's time for our listener shout out. And Avery brought something to her family's dinner table. Let's hear about it. Avery wrote to us after listening to our Shabbat episode and said they were inspired to start a new tradition at home. Avery asked their family if they could light a candle at dinner on Fridays and take turns sharing something good that happened that week, just like Jewish families often do during Shabbat. Avery said it made dinner feel calmer, more connected, and even a little special. That's what we love to hear. Avery, thank you for exploring with such a thoughtful heart. If you'd like a shout out, send us your story or reflections at faithfullyexplorer.com. The next episode of Faithfully Explore is going to take us on an epic adventure, straight into the stars. It's called Star Maps, What the Skies Teach Us About the World. And it's not just about twinkling lights in the sky. It's about why people all over the world have looked up and seen stories, signs, and secrets in the stars. Next time, we're exploring how the night sky has always helped us find where we are and who we are. Whether you follow a religion, many religions, or none at all, remember this. You are part of the human family and the Faithfully Explore family. And your values, your questions, your kindness, they matter. Keep listening to your inner compass. Keep learning, wondering, and exploring. And don't forget, your heart, your choices, and your voice are already helping shape a better world. Thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to subscribe, share the show with a friend, and leave a review if you're enjoying the journey. Until next time, I'm Laura. This is Faithfully Explore. Stay curious, stay kind, and keep exploring.